When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to DC Standum, your guided tour of the DC multiverse. I am your host, Mike Cecchini, the editor-in-chief of DennyGeek.com. And each week, I bring you discussions with writers, artists, actors, and experts covering everything from DC Comics, DC TV shows, to the big screen of the DCU. Although, I got to rethink this intro, right? Because now, movies and TV... Going forward, as you heard in last episode, and I hope you listened to it, James Gunn and Peter Safran and the new DC regime at Warner Brothers are now just calling it the DCU, which I think is pretty much the way it should be, because we all know that the DCEU was never DCEU, as it were. It was never really a real thing, was it? But anyway... I digress, as I tend to do. It's been a long day, but we've got a 1-2 punch of comics with this episode and the next one. Not just any comics either. Superman comics, my favorite. You may remember a few months ago when I teased that our Dan Jurgens interview from New York Comic Con would be the first part of a trilogy. I know it's a little ostentatious, but a trilogy focusing on the new era of Superman comics. And I'm finally delivering on that promise. Like I said, folks, things have been pretty wild at Denny Geek, and I just keep falling behind. But this episode, I've got an interview with Philip Kennedy Johnson, writer of the best Action Comics run in, I don't know, like a decade. And really one of my favorite Superman runs of the modern era, just period, if I'm being perfectly honest. Now, I'll confess... this interview's a little late, but the good news is, if you're caught up through about Action Comics number 1050, then there's no spoilers. But seriously, his entire run on Action, I mean, like, people use the word epic too much. But when I say that this Action Comics run has been epic, I mean it in, like, the actual sense of the word. It's great. It's just amazing. And, you know, it took Superman to the furthest reaches of space for the War World saga, which I cannot say enough good things about. And we do talk about quite a bit in this interview. And now it has planted him perfectly back where he belongs in Metropolis. I recommend Philip Kennedy Johnson's entire Superman and Action Comics run so far. But the recent issues, especially Action Comics number 1051, are perfect jumping on points. So you can catch up later. If you just want to start now, then you can go back and read the whole epic. But before we get to this interview, I'd like to tell you that this episode of DC Standum is presented by DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos. This March, Outright Games and Warner Brothers are calling DC fans of all ages to unite against chaos in the all-new open-world action-adventure game DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos. It's designed to be fun for the whole family. You could play as Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman to battle the mischievous Mr. Mixius Piddalek, who has summoned Starro the Conqueror and other supervillains to keep the Justice League busy while he becomes the new self-appointed mayor of Happy Harbor. There's other DC heroes in this one too. Players can also interact with other Justice League members like Green Lantern, Cyborg, The Flash, and Aquaman, who all make cameos throughout the game. You can enjoy DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos with friends and family in two-player instant action couch co-op to engage with the exciting and hilarious gameplay. Justice League Cosmic Chaos will be available to play on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, Xbox XS, and Steam beginning on March 10th. For more information, head to OutrightGames.com and follow Outright Games on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok for all the latest updates and information on DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos. Now, let's bring on Philip Kennedy Johnson and talk some Superman. Your run on Action Comics has pretty much been defined by the fact that it has not been taking place on Earth. But now, Superman's back on Earth. You're really setting the scene in Metropolis. How do you kind of define your Metropolis?
Action Comics specifically is defined by the word super family. It's all about the entire cast. When I first came onto the Superman and Action Comics series, they let me do this crazy event that takes him so far out of his comfort zone and went to a... We saw him in the context of a war world that we'd never seen, like a... put him in a new costume, surround him with a new cast, and just completely different than what he ever does. And now that we're going back to the iconic, you know, Metropolis setting with the iconic cast and everything, it's all about the characters that we haven't seen for a while now. And I wanted to show every character in the Super Family and really define what makes them all different, you know, like show the personality of each character and kind of define them in a way that might not be clear to all the readers. So yeah, I cannot wait for this new era to kick off.
When you talk about characters you haven't seen in a while and really giving them a moment in the, is it Action 1048 with Bibbo? Like where Bibbo just shows up for like two pages and it's just like the most wonderful Bibbo moment with the two kids. Of all the things, that was the thing that made me yell when I read it.
Thanks, man. I love Bibbo so much. And I mean, getting to write these upcoming issues alongside like Dan Jurgens that wrote those old issues that meant so much to me, and like how much I love Bibbo, man. As a character, he was like tippy top of my list for characters I knew I had to bring out. I just love Bibbo. And he just personifies what makes Superman great too, you know, like just the fact that he's a guy that is not as, you know, magnificently capable as Superman is, but he still takes all the lessons from Superman that we all should, you know, like he's no less afraid. In that issue, we see him go up against, you know, a new god that is gonna just pulverize him, and it doesn't even slow him down. You know, he's like, this is what you do.
Yeah. And well, you know, I've always wanted to ask, I don't know if it's something I should ask Dan Jurgens or Jerry Ordway about the earliest Bibbo appearances where he just seems like this weird background Popeye character, you know, and then he becomes this big, lovable, you know, and as we see in your book, the guy who just gives two kids a gallon of ice cream.
Right. I think the first time I had seen, I know that I interact with people online all the time that have a greater knowledge of Superman's history than me. The issues that I saw him in is when he took in Krypto, and like he was just this lovable guy that to me kind of teaches me a lot of the same lessons as Superman did, but in a way that he's like the normal guy version of that. I could not love Bibbo more than I do.
And on the other end of that spectrum, we have Metallo. Yeah. And that first image of Metallo in Action 1047 it's actually kind of sad. You know, it's almost like he's like this terminal patient, you know, and just removed from the usual Metallo context.
Yeah, the way we got to Metallo in his current state is by kind of just asking questions that make sense. Like, we've got this metahuman, this guy who is just basically a brain in a robotic body now, powered by kryptonite, and now he's a prisoner. So how do you lock up a guy like that? So you could envision him in his usual super powerful suit with his kryptonite heart in prison, but it kind of doesn't make sense. Like, why would you leave him super powerful? So instead, like, they've put him in this body that's practically like a crash test dummy that barely is functional. And he's, you know, being the character that he is, as ragey as he is, he's all the time, he'll try to escape or he'll just throw these tantrums. And so he'll just smash himself against the wall, against the door over and over until he's just falling apart, or he just throws a fit. And so they take out his voice box or they remove his legs or whatever. Like, he's this, like, how do they keep him prisoner but still have enough decency to at least let him have a body of some kind so he's not just a brain in a jar? And it just, yeah, it's this really tragic, sad situation for him. So when we see him again, I want people to feel sorry for him, honestly. I want, like, it's this guy that we, I mean, yeah, he's done horrible things. He's a murderer. He's a, you know, he's a, the worst kind of criminal, but now he's living this sad, honestly pathetic kind of existence that you wouldn't wish on anyone. And as the issues go on, we're going to see him become more and more the Metallo that we recognize, that we're afraid of, and remind us why he is a legit capital S supervillain kind of character, and then see him also kind of upgrade in a way that we haven't seen. Like, a lot of the stuff that we introduced on Warworld, actually, spoilers, is for was with Metallo in mind. We had the unmade that we see on there, who are essentially undead cyborg necro warriors, like these dead warriors that were super powerful that are then, you know, quote unquote, honored by being repurposed in these cyborg bodies that are made incredibly powerful through Mongols, alchemists, and necromancers. And I was thinking, like, how could, you know, these guys are powered by Genesis, this new, you know, this thing that's this mineral that's in the center of Warworld that we now know is basically the blood of an old god. But what if that was Metallo, you know, with a kryptonite heart? Or could we see Genesis powered Metallo, you know, like using Warworld tech? I wanted to see a new version of Metallo that could actually hang with someone like Superman, not just a robot that got kicked around that kind of sets him back a step because of the kryptonite aspect, but a thing that is so powerful that it could actually set Superman on his heels.
I spoke to Joshua Williamson earlier about villains in general, and, you know, he said there's like a really interesting take on Lex Luthor coming in his Superman book. But I'm curious with you, because obviously Luthor is a presence like right from the start in the new era of action. But Luthor is a character who, there's kind of like a continuum with Lex Luthor. Like, on the one end, you have like the Elliot S. Magan Luthor, who absolutely could and should be just like the greatest guy in the world if he was not just blinded by his jealousy and hatred of Superman. And then, like, there's like the other end of the spectrum where he really is just like a really, really bad dude, like just doing bad stuff for the sake of it. As you two are working towards, you know, this new era of Superman and Metropolis and classic Superman villains, where do you feel like Luthor is going to fall in this?
There are elements of both of those that I see as true. Like, he is, you know, extremely capable, of course, is a brilliant, brilliant mind that knows in his heart and soul that he knows that Metropolis is his, you know, like he has the best vision for what Metropolis should be. When Superman comes back from Warworld, he sees the state that the world is in and is struck by how quickly things have gotten worse in his absence, not necessarily because of his absence, but he's always been content to let humanity find its own way, and he has faith in us to find our own way and to steer towards, you know, the best version of ourselves over the long term. Now he is starting to worry that the super family needs to take a more active role to help, and he offers a way to bring Metropolis into the future, to give the world an example of a city that can be the best version of itself. He really wants to bring Metropolis into the future, make it the city of tomorrow in a way that'll be like a, you know, shining star to the world of what we can all be. And that runs counter to Lex's vision. And it's better than his vision, and he can't have that.
Action has evoked the Triangle Era, you know. I mean, just like the fact that you go back to Warworld and Mongol being such a big presence, of course, is kind of automatically going to do that. And now what you and Joshua and Tom are going to do with these books going forward, of course, there's going to be that kind of interplay. But one of the underappreciated elements of that era is how well it utilized the Jack Kirby Fourth World concepts and how effortlessly they were woven into Metropolis. And it looks like you're going like full bore at the New Gods again, which we haven't seen in DC for a long time. So what are your rules, or what are the general rules at DC? Like, if somebody wants to use the New Gods, how does this work, and how is this going to work, you know, alongside Superman?
Well, I mean, the Kirbyverse is the mythology. It's like the creation myths of the DC universe. It's the Old Testament of the DCU. And it would be crazy, especially as someone who just loves to world build and loves to do the deep dives.
You?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think you were slacking a little on the War World stuff. I don't know.
Well, I mean, one of the mission statements of the War World saga was to tie in the modern characters with its mythology, with like the old world stuff. So I wanted to show what War World, quote unquote, really is. You know, like show that it's actually much older than we thought, and it was like the origins of it that we thought we knew were actually untrue, and that it ties into the very earliest versions of the fourth world, the first world gods, and Olgrin, god of gods, and all that, to tie in the current continuity, modern day characters with the origins of Kirby's world that he sometimes alluded to.
DC's in an interesting place continuity-wise right now, where it does kind of feel like every story kind of happened. Again, Triangle Era, big touchstone. You know, I think we're all kind of that generation. But I also saw a lot of the Golden Age Superman in the War World run, which is weird. Like, I feel like you brought a lot of that, you know, street-level champion of the oppressed early days of the character, but you were just doing it, you know, in space. So, you know, do you have kind of like a unifying theory of Superman that you're trying to, like, it doesn't even matter about continuity, but I just thought it was an interesting place to see that kind of rougher edged, more socially conscious Superman than we sometimes associate with the character.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. Champion of the oppressed is who he is, right? The whole point of Superman is that he cares about others more than himself. Sometimes people will reach out online like, you know, I want to see Superman do these crazy feats, like physical feats of strength and all that. And what they need to know, like, that stuff is already happening now, and in the post-war world stuff is happening for sure. And he's already kind of doing it on War World. Even without his powers, he would find ways to get these crazy things done. But now he's supercharged with the White Sun that's in War World Saga. We're going to see him extremely powerful. But what I always try to keep at the front of my mind in every issue is that the insane levels of power are only there to illustrate how incorruptible he is. If he's just doing it because he's tough, it doesn't matter. It's just bombast for its own sake. We need to see the man of absolute power who is not corrupt, who wields it with absolute compassion and humility, and that needs to be at the core of who he is and what we show on the page. I wanted to show a real feel good moment in 1047 where he, you know, flies with a car, you know, he saves the family car going off the bridge, and then he takes a minute to kind of check on the kids in the back seat. And I wanted to have that kind of a Christopher Reeve moment where he's like, the kid tries to give him his toy, and he's like, you keep him, son, he's going to miss you, but there's one thing you can do for me, make sure you always wear your seatbelt like you did today. And that, to me, I was trying to invoke that Christopher Reeve moment where he's like, I hope this hasn't put you off flying. You know, statistically speaking, it's still the safest way to fly. Just that little PSA of like, here's how you keep yourself safe, and thanks so much, I'm just here to help. It just makes you, kind of gives you the chills, you know, like, it's like, I just want to be that. I want to be that thing. I want to be that guy who just has, you can do anything and uses it to just help people that need it.
And this is the same title and the same writer who just 5 minutes ago was talking about, you know, cyborg necro soldiers.
right, exactly.
So, like, if that doesn't, like, convince people that Superman books are really, really cool right now, I don't know what will.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Thanks so much.
And that is it for this week's DC Stand'em. Keep it right here, because next week I've got Joshua Williamson talking about the launch of his brand new Superman #1. See, I told you this was a trilogy. If you count the Dan Jurgens episode that I released in like November or whatever it was. But anyway, we've got some other big stuff in the works covering the entire DCU, including, and maybe especially, depending on how you look at it, the movie and TV stuff. And we got a lot more DC Comics stuff coming down the road too. That's where my heart really is. You know that. Don't forget to check out our web home at denigeek.com, where you can find all our DC coverage. You can go straight to denigeek.com/DC for that. Drop me a line on Twitter. I'm at Way Out Stuff. I'm not really there that much anymore. I really should change this outro too, right? But if you want to let me know what you want to hear about in upcoming episodes, that's one way to do that. You can also follow at DC Stand'em on Twitter and Instagram. And that's another good place. Make suggestions. Tell me what you want to hear more of, what you want to hear less of. You're probably going to say you want to hear less of me. I can't really say I blame you about that. But anyway, give those a follow. We'll see what we can do for you. And hey, did you know we also have a Marvel show? That's right. You can also listen to Marvel Standum wherever you're listening to this show right now. Check it out. Sometimes we do these live, and honestly, I'm telling you right now, I've been getting a lot of requests to do more DC Standum live episodes. So make sure you're following us on Twitch and YouTube, especially Twitch. That is my preferred live streaming platform. That is twitch.tv/DenGeekTV. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/DenGeekUS. But that's it for this episode. This has been DC Standum on the DenGeek Network. Until next time, remember, folks, we stand together.